Have you ever considered that simply showing up in your own body might be a political act? For millions of disabled people worldwide, this isn't a philosophical question, it's daily reality. Disability visibility shatters the tired narratives we've grown accustomed to. The inspiration porn, the tragic victim, the superhuman overcomer. Instead, it offers something far more radical and necessary: authentic voices speaking without apology or explanation. These aren't stories designed to make non-disabled readers feel comfortable or inspired. They're raw, complex, sometimes uncomfortable truths about what it means to navigate a world built without you in mind. As disability rights activist Sandy Ho writes, taking up space as a disabled person is always revolutionary. This anthology proves why. June Eric Udori grew up in church services promising healing through faith. Born with a condition causing involuntary eye movements, she internalized a devastating message. Her body was a mistake waiting to be corrected. At 14, when a doctor suggested registering as partially sighted, she recoiled. Claiming disability felt like adding an unnecessary burden to my already complex identity as Black, female, Nigerian, and British. At 17, she finally said aloud, "I have a visual disability." This declaration represented a seismic shift from shame to self-acceptance. Now she enters church, happy in the body I exist in, knowing I am not a mistake waiting to be fixed. Her journey mirrors Ariel Henley's experience with Cruzon syndrome, which causes facial differences. After years of medical appointments where doctors circled her flaws, an art teacher offered a revelation. Being compared to a Picasso may seem like an insult, but it's an honor. You are a masterpiece. These narratives reject the medical model, positioning disabled bodies as problems requiring solutions, embracing instead disability as natural human diversity. Jeremy Woody's experience being deaf in prison reveals what happens when accessibility becomes optional. Without sign language interpreters, staff couldn't communicate with him. He missed meals because he couldn't hear announcements. Educational programs and medical care remained inaccessible. Even when he developed cancer, interpreters appeared only at the hospital, never in prison. The injustice peaked during disciplinary proceedings. Brought to court in shackles, Woody had no way to communicate his defense. One sympathetic guard tried writing notes, but others refused to uncuff him so he could respond. "Unable to write not guilty or request an interpreter, I was automatically declared guilty," he recalls. This landed him in solitary confinement, where he spent days crying endlessly from fury and helplessness. His story represents an extreme but not isolated example. Similar patterns of exclusion appear throughout criminal justice, education, healthcare, and employment, where physical inaccessibility, lack of accommodations, discriminatory policies, and prejudice compound existing power imbalances. Society assumes joy is impossible for disabled people, associating disability only with sadness and shame, writes Kia Brown, creator of the viral hashtag, #disabledandcute. Her essay challenges the narrative that disability and happiness are mutually exclusive. The turning point came on a snowy day in 2016 when she vowed to nurture joy, actively rerouting negative thoughts by speaking aloud what she liked about herself, a practice that led to creating #disabledandcute, which went viral globally within 2 weeks. This celebration appears throughout the anthology in unexpected forms. Selma Blair stepped onto the 2019 Oscars red carpet with her diamond-adorned cane, rejecting embarrassment about mobility aids. Jameson Hill and his partner Shannon, both with conditions preventing Hill from speaking, communicate via text messages while cuddling. When Hill attempted to whisper, "I love you," through clenched teeth, Shannon couldn't understand. Her response? "You don't have to say anything. I love you." These accounts serve as powerful counter-narratives to the tragedy model of disability, demonstrating that disabled lives contain the full spectrum of human emotion, refusing the expectation that disabled people should be objects of pity. Latif McLeod began using augmentative and alternative communication at age 6, progressing from picture boards to modern iPads that offer affordable alternatives to specialized devices costing thousands. Yet technology alone doesn't solve isolation. Broader societal change remains essential. The anthology reveals art as vital expression for disabled people. Jameson Hill describes writing as burning, that unstoppable flow when words pour out until his knuckles hurt. With bipolar 2 disorder, proper medication allowed him to create deliberately rather than through controlled falling. His insight that mental illness didn't make me creative, it made me ill, challenges romanticized notions linking creativity and mental health. Dance offers another powerful medium. One contributor describes attending a wheelchair dancer's performance that created the rare feeling of being in a space truly created for disabled people, reversing typical power dynamics. Non-disabled attendees experienced the unsettling reality of being on the other side of the access divide. These accounts demonstrate that communication transcends information. It's about agency, connection, and self-determination. As long as claiming our own ground is treated as an act of hostility, we need our ground, writes Essie Smith about spaces created by and for disabled people. These environments provide vital community where disabled needs are centered rather than treated as inconvenient accommodations. Smith describes Crip Space as a fragile natural place requiring protection while remaining open to change, acknowledging that conflicting needs mean not all disabled people feel welcome. The anthology illustrates how disability intersects with race, gender, sexuality, and religion. Sandy Ho confronts cultural stigma as a disabled Asian American woman, from the Chinese term kanfei, useless, to kanzang, disabled and obstructed. Maysoon Zayed's experience as a Muslim woman with cerebral palsy reveals how religious practice and disability accommodation require thoughtful negotiation. Kia Brown explicitly addresses how, as a Black woman with cerebral palsy, her joy represents resistance against multiple systems of oppression. Eugene Grant's discovery of Benjamin Lay, a dwarf person born in 1682 who became a radical abolitionist, suggests that marginalized perspectives generate radical insights about equality, benefiting everyone. In a world treating disability as a medical problem rather than cultural identity, this anthology offers profound connection. Stacey Milburn's reflection on Crip ancestorship through special boot socks passed down from disability rights leaders captures this beautifully. Though she loved these socks, falling while wearing them sparked deeper thoughts. Disabled people often live short lives, yet their spirits and wisdom endure, continuing to learn alongside the living. By collecting diverse voices, this anthology builds a record of disability culture for future generations, challenging isolation and providing belonging to a cultural tradition with its own history and ongoing evolution. The message resonates universally. You are enough. You are not alone. This anthology offers a vision where disabled people aren't waiting to be fixed, aren't performing inspiration for others' comfort, aren't hiding to make the world more palatable. They're simply living fully, complexly, joyfully, angrily, creatively. That's the revolution. Not in grand gestures, but in the daily act of existing authentically, claiming space, building community, and refusing to disappear. Your presence matters. Your voice deserves to be heard. Your joy is resistance.